Good morning, everyone, and welcome to those that are worshiping in Minnetonka and those in Woodside and those worshiping online as well, as we continue and actually wrap up this series called Friendology, that there are four kinds of people in our lives. There are adders, subtractors, dividers, and today we wrap up with this message related to multipliers. So let me invite you to take out your teaching notes. You can download those if you want to follow along that way online as well. And as you're doing so, I just want to give you an update on a couple of things that are taking place. I had a transformative week in my life, honestly, on two major fronts. One, I traveled on the Sankofa trip. Sankofa is an African phrase, means looking back in order to move forward. There's a movement across the country where churches are being invited to become a leading voice for hope and healing related to the racialization and race tensions in our country today. I think that's a good move. And one of the strategies are these Sankofa trips. So 14 African-American pastors and 14 Anglo pastors joined together, and we made our way down on a civil rights pilgrimage starting in Atlanta, Georgia, and went into Alabama, Birmingham, Selma, into Mississippi and Jackson and all these different places that were the height of the civil rights movement. But we actually started from the port of slavery where the first ships came in and what that journey was like. So let me just say that my good friend, the black pastor that was connected with me, Richard Coleman, I've known him for a while, but I've never known his soul. But we were matched together. We sat on the bus together. There really wasn't room for two guys, big guys, on the bus together, but we did that. We ate meals together. We slept in the same room together. We had discussion questions. We got to be very, very close. And I'm just going to say it was gut-wrenching and also very inspirational. And I need some time to sort out what I experienced. I got back very early morning on Friday, and I said to Carrie, really, today I can't even talk about what the week has been. I need some time, and I'm going to put that together. At some point, we'll discern what that voice will be like, transformative to say the least. But while I was gone, secondly, our 10-year vision, for those who are guests here, you're not going to know what I'm talking about, so I'm just going to speak to the church family briefly, that Wednesday evening our leadership board met and decided to move forward on the basis of your generosity with the Bush Lake property. And I just want to say thank you for your generosity. The gift cards that have come in, half of you have taken a step up the ladder of generosity, which allows us over the next several years to have the operational costs provided for the near and far ministries. And we had a one-time gift beyond the ongoing that we were asking for, a stretch goal of $4 million. And it's a stretch goal, but we're already over 3.6 with what came in last week. And so cards for the rest of this week are being added, including this morning's cards, and we're on our way to that $4 million. And so I want to just say thank you, God, for working through you, our church family, to say yes to be part of where we're going. So it's a paradigm shift for us. So we're moving from this growth strategy that has been our history to a multiplication strategy. We're not going to build a 2,500-seat worship center. We're going to go into communities with the gospel of Christ around the Southwest region and beyond as God leads us to that given end. But we have a personal impact on that for our journey in the 10 years ahead, as well as collectively. Our hope is that you see yourself as a disciple of Christ who makes disciples, who then makes disciples. And that we as a church begin to birth churches that birth churches that birth other churches. It's a multiplication strategy. So it's fitting that I wrap up Friendology with multipliers in our lives. And Paul, the apostle, was one of those multipliers. And so the text I want to give energy to is from 1 Corinthians 4, 14 and following. You'll see in your teaching notes it says 14. It's chapter 4, 1 Corinthians. I'm going to invite you to take it out. It was the custom in the early church, as well as even in the Jewish synagogues, to stand for the reading of God's word. I'm going to invite you to do the same in Minnetonka, Woodside, even if you're at home. Stand for the reading of God's word and hear what Paul writes. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. For though you have countless guides in Christ, you do not have many fathers. For I became your father in Christ Jesus through the gospel. I urge you then, be imitators of me. That is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. Some are arrogant, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon, if the Lord wills, and I will find out not the talk of those arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. So what do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with the love in a spirit of gentleness? Well, there's a pronounced way to end the text for today. So have a seat and follow along in the teaching notes if you're so inclined as we talk about multipliers. The very word multiplier has two root words, multi and ply. Multi meaning many, more than one, abundant. Ply meaning thick or layers or to supply. And when you combine the words, you get this word multiplier. It's an incredible word. It means to boost or to amplify, to magnify, to expand, to enlarge, to increase. Just saying all of those words creates an energy and a synergy that makes you want to shout for joy. And it's these people who are multipliers that really expand our life and enrich our personal journeys. Multipliers, in fact, are probably some of the most influential, impactful people in your life's journey. And on a continuum of friends, those who are closest to you, to those who might be acquaintances, you will find multipliers. They're not all close in proximity to you, but they make a difference in your journey. They could be a BFF, they could be a spouse, they could be a family member, but they could as well simply be an acquaintance, a professor, a teacher, somebody along the way that's written a book and shared an idea with you that has multiplied your understanding of life. Personally, Carrie, for me, is in the closest proximity of my soul and is my primary multiplier beyond the Lord himself. But then I would have to say Dallas Willard would be right up there at the top, my top five multipliers, though I've only met him once. And I've only heard him speak in person a few times, but I've read most of his books and they have transformed my understanding of what it means to live with Christ into your life. He's a multiplier for me. So there's a span in that continuum of friendship. There are two kinds of multipliers that I want to distinguish for us today. There are escalator multipliers. These are people who motivate you to take that next step of growth. So you get the idea of an escalator. You're on this given floor, and the escalator is going to take you to another floor. They're going to help you make that step onto that new floor of understanding of where you are. But then there are elevator multipliers. These are amazing people who motivate you to reach higher levels of growth than you ever dreamed possible. That when you hit ceilings, they help you to see through the ceilings and see the possibilities that are beyond. If you find yourself hitting a kind of ceiling in your life, whether that be a financial one or a professional one or an emotional one or an intellectual one or relational or social one or even spiritual one, begin praying for a multiplier. Look for them. Invite them into your journey. A ceiling is when you begin to visualize yourself becoming a person that perhaps you are not yet, or doing something that is still before you, but you're not quite sure how to start that journey. And multipliers begin to help you see that. Or you might be in a place where you have obstacles in your life that are keeping you from really moving into that next step of your journey and your path. And if that's the case, multipliers help call out those obstacles, break them down, that when you're stuck, they help you get unstuck. That generally, multipliers don't go around, and this is important, they don't go around announcing that they are multipliers. They're not coming into your life to say, "I want to be your multiplier." They don't do that. They don't do that. They're humble in terms of their very presence. They usually have to be invited into that given role. They're not looking to be on a billboard and to declare in your life and impose themselves as multipliers unless there is a reason. And the Apostle Paul has a reason. And he declares himself a multiplier. He identifies himself as the spiritual father to the Corinthians, these first Christ followers. Wow. That's a declaration. But he doesn't give himself the credit for it. It's who Christ made him to be. And he knows it's part of his mission. And he's saying in this letter, as you could see, it's pretty direct, that he sees more room for these early Christ followers. They have not yet tapped into the reality of what's happened in their salvation. They have not embraced the resources that are going to make a difference for their everyday life, their family, as well as the communities in which they live. And he has concern and he speaks into it for them. And so we're going to look at six marks that are seen in the Apostle Paul as a multiplier. And these marks are congruent in your life, whether it be for spiritual growth or relational growth or emotional growth or intellectual growth or even vocational growth, your career path. What does a multiplier look like? Let's take a look at these six marks. First of all, a multiplier speaks the hard truth. They have an edge sometimes. They are, in fact, straight talkers and truth tellers. And we need these kind of people in our lives. In fact, their words can be sometimes so sharp, they can make us feel uncomfortable. They invade our comfort zone because they know how to deliver a hard word, and it makes us go deep to think about what's being said to us. Paul was this way in verse 14. He says, I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. He's admonishing. That word in the NIV is translated to warn or to call attention to things that need to be called attention to in your life, that there's a better way for you. And he's clearly heard or observed some things about these early Christ followers, that they were making bad decisions, and we all do along the way. Sometimes we make bad decisions because of habit. We've just done it this way, and we don't know how to break the rhythm of the habit that would move us from those bad decision kind of places. Sometimes it's because of ignorance. We just don't know how to make better decisions. We need somebody to come alongside of us to see a better way in that decision-making process. Sometimes it's because of preparation. Sometimes we're just flat out lazy in terms of preparing ourselves for all that God would want us to be. We don't give ourselves fully to it. We don't think about the implications of something and a decision that we make. We don't think about the consequences, and we're left vulnerable as a result of that. And all of that happens while others, sometimes on that continuum, your very closest of friends, say nothing. They see the mistakes happen again and again, but they don't say anything. They don't have the courage to. They may not feel like it's their role to, whatever that might be. But multipliers, they don't hold back. They call attention to this reality of our life and our journey. See, we need someone who cares enough to come to us with a hard truth. Somebody who might say to you, that relationship you're in is not helpful. It will destroy you. Well, those are hard words to say. Or the anger in your life is inappropriate because it's going to affect, it's going to be an obstacle to your future, to what God has for you. Or they may say to you, I can see that you're drifting away from God in the choices that you're making, and even your church family. And they call us back into that relationship with the Lord. That's their intent anyways. So sometimes they speak that kind of hard truth, but then we also need someone who cares enough to come to us to help us to see the preferred future that is before us, to see the possibilities, to move us from that unstuck place. And we all have them. Stop and think about them. Give thanks to God for them in your life. You've heard me share in my own personal story some of those multipliers, but after my parents were divorced and my mom and dad split, they separated. They didn't divorce right away, actually. My mom took all seven of the kids from Minneapolis to Sioux Falls because that's where her mom and dad were when they were having a rough time. And it's where my dad's mom and dad were as well. So I think the intention was to go to Sioux Falls for a short time, weeks or maybe a few months as they sorted out things, but it didn't happen, which meant that we went to Sioux Falls and I didn't even get to say goodbye to my friends. It was a major adjustment in our lives to be taken to Sioux Falls. I wanted to be with my dad. I wanted to be with my friends. And all of a sudden, I'm entering into the fifth grade in Sioux Falls, South Dakota as a 10-year-old boy, and I'm struggling. I'm an introverted kid. I'm a happy introverted kid overall, but I'm also dying on the inside trying to figure out what's going on. Kids at that age, at that time, didn't put words to their feelings. We weren't taught to do that. But clearly, there were these separation points, and I was going the wrong direction. My performance in school went way down. I was doing very poorly in school. My connection with friends went way down. I had no interest in the people of Sioux Falls. They were different than the people in Minneapolis. I wanted to be with my friends in Minneapolis, so I detached. I didn't have friends. And that's not a good combination, all of those things. And I was slipping in the wrong direction. So much so that the teachers talked with my mom and said, we think it's best for Joel to repeat the fifth grade. I don't know, your pastor flunked fifth grade. How does that happen? Nobody flunks fifth grade, not even the poorest performing students. They still move on, but I didn't. I flunked the fifth grade. And today I say that crucible moment of my childhood was less the divorce than walking down the hall fifth grade the second time around and seeing those kids first time around in their class, and I'm going to be with another group of fifth graders. It was traumatizing. And I started fifth grade the second time around no better than the first time around, to the end that Mrs. Graves, my fifth grade teacher, the second time around, I can only imagine, said, not on my watch is that kid going down. And so by December of that year, she made me president of the fifth grade class. I had no credentials for presidency. Nobody even knew I existed in the room. It was an amazing thing. I did not want to be president of the fifth grade class. It's not like I had a choice or an option in it, but this is a multiplier. and multiply or see something. She saw something, and she moved me into a place that otherwise I have no idea where I'd be today. That multiplier in my life changed the trajectory of everything that was before me. And you have them as well. Stop and give thanks to God. The power of a teacher can transform a whole kid's life and journey, and maybe even your connections with people in such a place. She was an elevator multiplier for me. We need them. A multiplier speaks the hard truth. And I love what Paul says here. I do not write these things to make you ashamed. I love this because shame is not a motivator. I say this out loud to you. I never ask or invite you into anything with a spirit of shame. You've got enough to deal with in your own life to have somebody else pouring shame upon you. No, that's not the motivator, because shame makes our head bow down low. But a multiplier makes our head lifted high. So we see new possibilities. We want to move in that kind of direction. Secondly, a multiplier pours his heart into you, is the call. And that's an important principle, because a multiplier invests in you, because that's what they're doing. They're giving of themselves into you because they care. They're genuine people. They're sincere people who give of themselves to help point you in a right direction, or to help you discover the potential that you have, and then even connect it to the very purposes of your life. So Paul, even when he's writing hard words, he is quick to share his love, as we see here. I do not write these things to make you ashamed, but to admonish you as my beloved children. There's a foundation by which he speaks those hard words. He's just not showing up and says, man, you got some problems in your life. No, there's a foundation of concern and sincerity that you see. He's saying, I'm with you. I'm coming alongside of you. I'm there for you. That's what multipliers communicate. But it's important. There's a myth related to multipliers. Let's just bust those right off the bat. Don't mistake a multiplier relationship for a friendship that's defined in your mind as a hangout kind of friend. You might have some multipliers that are hangout kinds of friends, but they'll be relatively few. Most of the multipliers of your life will be people who influence you with an idea or a concept, or by something they've written or investment they made into your journey, but you're not hanging out with them on a Friday night, and that's okay. Don't have that expectation. Matter of fact, some of these multipliers, you might even question whether or not they even like you because of what they say to you. And it's kind of a vulnerable thing, because they invade your comfort zone, because they're trying to not puff you up. They're not just trying to make you feel good. They're people just trying to make you feel good so that you feel good. No, that's not their goal or their intention along the way. That's just a myth. They are not people pleasers. They don't need to please you because they don't need you to like them. That's not their reason for motivation to invest into your life in the least. In fact, Paul was a God pleaser, and his motivation and his fuel came from that and that alone. So don't be hurt by what they say. Just be open and listen and see how God will work through the multipliers that he puts into your life, which, by the way, they're really good listeners. And they're good listeners because it's not about them. This is about you riding the escalator to the next floor, or maybe getting on that elevator into a place you just never even dreamed was possible in your life or your journey. Third, a multiplier leads the way. I love this about multipliers. When I got home after this Sankofa trip, and just emotionally Friday was just a bit of a wreck. Poor Carrie, she was so terrific, patient with me and all of that. And so I said, what I need to do is just go to the wild bird store. Yeah, when you're an emotional wreck, go to the bird store, right? Get in touch with nature. This never used to be my pattern, but after I turned 50, I like birds and I'm real bold about it. So they make me feel better about life and myself. So I went to the bird store. I got a new kind of bird food I'd never gotten before, because I'm trying to attract, if you didn't know, Baltimores and hummingbirds are out right now, yeah. trying to get them into my backyard. I've got the bird feeders right outside of my office where I write my messages every week. So I got this new bird feeder. I put the food into this tray, trying to attract them. And we have this cardinal that shows up. And we name the creatures of the earth who show up in our backyard. So this is Carl the cardinal. And by the way, he's got a girlfriend named Cora. She's beautiful as well. You can really get me going on this. But anyway, Carl and Cora, they're there up on the high bird feeder. But I've got this tray with the new bird feeder. And I can tell Carl's interested. So I'm watching him. I'm trying to finish my message and watch Carl at the same time. Carl comes down to the new tray, and he walks around the whole thing, and then he investigates, and he eats from the tray. And he likes it, I can tell. So he eats more. And then suddenly he takes some of the food, I had peanuts in there, he puts it in his beak. He flies up to Korah and he feeds Korah. Beautiful, right? And then, see, this is why you need to do this. It's so true. Get in touch with the nature around you. And then Korah hangs up there. He flies back down. He gets more food and comes back and feeds her again. Several times he does that. Then suddenly he comes down and Carl is enjoying it, consuming, being selfish right now. And Korah follows to the tray and eats as well. He leads the way. Now, I'm not trying to compare the Apostle Paul to a cardinal. I want to be clear about that. But the pattern of leadership is clearly there. He leads the way. In verse 16, he says, so clearly, I urge you, be imitators of me, he says. Isn't that powerful? Multipliers just know who they are, they know why they're here, and they know where they're going. They may not know all the answers, they just have a confidence, and in his case, that God will make that path clear. Not all of us live with that kind of confidence. So he says, be an imitator of me. He wants us to have that confidence as well, just as he does. In fact, he wants us to know who we are and where we're going and what we're all about, because they want us to know, Paul does, that Jesus can do immeasurably more than all you could think or imagine. But we make God small. We don't want all of that responsibility necessarily, but he's trying to open up the vista of what's before us, the views that God has in store for us in the journey. Multipliers think, don't just do as I say, do as I do. So Paul, in essence, is saying, I'm not just going to talk about prayer, I'm going to teach you to become a true man or woman of prayer. I'm not just going to talk with you about forgiveness, I'm going to show you how to forgive your enemies. That's an elevator kind of quality, by the way. He shows us that way through Christ who is in us. He's saying, think like me and lead like me and love like me. He's saying, suffer like me. Oh, he suffered, and we all suffer. But he suffers with the presence of the Lord who is with him. He says, give like me, trust in Jesus like me, and watch what will happen in your life. He says, my way is a better way. Of course, his way is a way of Christ, the hope of glory who is in him, and it will be better for your life. He invites us into that journey. Number four, a multiplier opens doors. That is, they network you with other people and new opportunities. Whether that's an escalator kind of network relationship that goes from one floor to another floor, or an elevator kind of network that takes you from one floor to a floor that is beyond anything you could dream or imagine. He says in verse 17, that is why I sent you Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere in every church. I have sent Timothy to help you grow. See, once connected, a multiplier will resource you with their resources. They'll introduce you to people, ideas, concepts, ways of being that really help you grow. It may be opening the door to a relationship that helps you think in new ways, or networks at another level, or in a great book, an idea that they want you to read. I love the words of Vera Price, who says, multipliers are usually called to you, divinely connected to you, and uniquely designed for you. So one person's multiplier may not be another person's multiplier. They have a purpose, and it may be for a season, it may be for a short season, but they make a world of difference in that given season. Number five, a multiplier offers wisdom. That is, they take you on a path where there's information, and you know about information, but it gets turned into knowledge. Now there's truth with it. But then what do you do with the truth? And it gets converted into wisdom. It goes from information to knowledge to wisdom. And wisdom is the gift of God that helps you know what to do with your life, where to go with your life, who to become in your life, and how to become those things. That's wisdom, and that's what multipliers give to us. And Paul gives it through these words. That is why I sent you again, Timothy, my beloved and faithful child in the Lord, to remind you of my ways in Christ as I teach them everywhere and in every church. My ways in Christ, I love the qualifier, and I teach them everywhere. He wants everyone to know these transformative truths that change our life, multiply, increase, expand our lives. But here's the truth of it. Not everybody wants, and not everybody receives. So multipliers become discerning. They'll set the table for everyone, but they're observing, they're looking for those who really want it. And for those who want it, they invest themselves to that end Multipliers are not attracted to just smart people or people who have competence or demonstrated abilities and capacities in networking. They're not attracted to people who are know-it-alls, by the way, or I've made it a kind of an attitude, people that might be defensive or people who have an argument for everything and an answer for everything. They tend to be exhausting. Do you know people who just know it all? They're exhausting, are they not? And it's the same with the multiplier. Multiplier just will kind of check out from that reality. Because if you know it all, then you have nothing to learn. You don't have a spirit of humility. You're not coachable. You're not teachable. You're just, you know, spouting off what you know and saying, that's enough. You're not a learner for life. So multipliers are attracted to potential more than they are to position. They see what can be, and they quietly and humbly show up in your journey. I put a grocery list because I thought, I don't know how to fit all these things in. I just thought about the multipliers in my life, so I wrote down a few things that I think are qualities of multipliers. I just give them to you. One is they help you sort out who you are and what makes your heart beat, and they connect it to purpose. They start to see the whole of your being and say, oh, there's a pathway for you. They help build confidence and courage in your life because we're afraid to take risks, and they help us to get there. We have obstacles that keep us from taking risks, and they take them down. They show you how to seize opportunities and then nurture you so you have the confidence to steward those opportunities. They test your resolve to see if you're willing to seize the opportunities that they give. And if you're not, if you're just giving lip service, if you just want to be on the stage, whatever the case might be, and you're not really interested in doing the work that's necessary to grow, to see the new possibilities, they pay attention and they may detach and even pull away from you as a result. They want to be with the people who are teachable. They want to know if you are entitled. Do you live as though you deserve the next floor? Or that you're willing to offer yourself in it. They'll test you in that with questions and opportunities to see if you seize them. They care about helping you grow your character so you can manage your influence. I just spoke at one of our interns' gatherings and did a little teaching thing and encouraged them to own your influence. Because all that you are and all that you have comes from God. And He wants to take what He's given you to influence the world for His name's sake. But you have to own your influence. You have to come to that point to say, this is what God gave to me. I didn't earn it or deserve it, but I receive it, and I'm going to steward it and live in it. That's part of the invitation we're given. Number six, a multiplier doesn't shy away from giving a good kick in the seat of your pants. I love the writing of Roger Van Ucks, my daughter's one of her favorite authors. He wrote a book called A Whack on the Side of the Head, great little book. As also wrote a book called The Kick in the Seat of Your Pants, where I get this little deal. It's to get us out of that mental rut that we get stuck in an extraordinary way. And they do this. Paul is this kind of guy in verses 18 and following. Some are arrogant as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you soon if the Lord wills. And I will find out not the talk of these arrogant people, but their power. For the kingdom of God does not consist in talk, but in power. What do you wish? Shall I come to you with a rod or with love in a spirit of gentleness? That last phrase seems like a kick in the seat of the pants, right? But understand the context of what's happening here, that multipliers can be severely honest with you, and you have to be prepared to be taken back sometimes by the things that they say and do and suffer through it at the front end with their difficult questions and comments because they're breaking ceilings for us to see ourselves in new ways, to see the world in new ways, to offer ourselves before the Lord in new ways. Paul wants to come with his power and love and a spirit of gentleness. In other words, I don't think he means that he's coming with this rod of rebuke and discipline that would be unloving, because he's already said he doesn't want to shame them. I think he simply means, shall I come with a disciplinary love or a gentle affirming love? Because love is our aim. The essence of God is love. For God so loved the world, he gave us Jesus the Christ. When you receive salvation in Christ, you receive the love of Christ. All the love that you need in your life, you already have in Jesus Christ. It's learning to seize that love, live that love, be that love, so that we can know him, but as well make him known. That's the mission that he has for us in this journey. And it's what you're invited to as we come to this table and we receive the presence of the Lord, who says, man, I am with you and I am for you. And I have resourced you with everything you need to be all that I have in mind for you and to make a difference in your life and in the world. Now that's called friendology. And we come to this table with the bread and the cup to remember his coming and his dying and rising again. Pretty cool. So I'm going to invite you to bow your heads with me in Minnetonka, Woodside, even online. And I want to pray and ask that God would lead our time at the table. Father, we are the children of the living God. And if we are not, I pray that everyone here would just know, after even hearing these words, I am not a child of the living God, or at least I don't know it. I'm not living like it. I don't even know what that looks like. And that they would begin the journey of receiving the great and consummate multiplier in their life, Jesus, Son of God, Savior of our souls and all who come to him. Your love is compelling, and it changes our everything. So we confess to you that we're sinners in need of a Savior. We confess to you that we make you small every day, increase our understanding, enlarge our vision, that we would know you and make you known. And when we take this bread, we take this cup to our lips, remind us of what is in us already and open the views of the world to the end that we could make your name blessed to those in our sphere of influence, and that we would know of your truth and beauty and goodness even as we come to this table. We receive you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.